episode 189 of Futures Radio Show, sponsored by CME Group, the world's leading and most diverse futures and options exchange. CME Group's markets help individuals and businesses around the world effectively manage risk. For access to free educational tools and resources for the active individual trader, please visit activetrader.cmegroup.com.
Every day, traders and investors dive in to tackle the ever-changing markets to find opportunity. Futures Radio Show is your number one source for answers to the questions that all market participants want to ask. Veteran futures trader Anthony Crudele sits down with the most influential leaders and top traders in the industry. Now, here's your host, Anthony Crudele.
Hey everyone, before we get started today, I want to thank our sponsors. CME Group, Trading Technologies, RJO Futures, and Top Step Trader. Now today I spoke with Tom Flake, founder and chief marketing officer at Because LLC. I had a very interesting conversation with Tom about his background and the launch of his company, Because. I was very impressed in Tom's vision to offer a full stack cryptocurrency ecosystem. I asked Tom why he thinks that futures traders should be looking into trading cryptocurrencies. We discussed why Because offers mining, spot, derivatives, and clearing. Finally, I asked Tom if he thinks that cryptocurrencies will ever replace traditional state-backed currencies. As usual, thank you all for listening, and please enjoy this episode. Tom, welcome to the show.
Hey, Anthony, thanks for having me on today.
It's great to speak with you today, Tom. Now, I first saw your company, Because, at FIA Chicago, and it's not spelled the traditional way. It's spelled B-C-A-U-S-E, and that right out of the gates was pretty interesting to me. I was wondering why you guys spelled it that way, and when I got to your booth at FIA Chicago, I was speaking with you, and you talked about how you were focusing on mining, spot, derivatives, and clearing. So I wanted to have you on while we were here at FIA Boca so our traders could hear from you and learn more about you and the company. So let's start off by telling our listeners how you got your start in the industry.
So I don't know how far back you want me to go, back to the Stone Ages or not, but way back when I was running nuclear power plants for the U.S. Navy. And I spent about 8 years doing that. And then I went to work for NASA and worked for NASA for about 13 years. More recently and more relevant to our conversation today, about 6 years ago, I was running one of the most successful incubators in the United States, Peninsula Technology Incubator. And somebody walked into my office and they said, "Hey, have you heard anything about this thing called Bitcoin?" I had no idea what he was talking about at the time. I spent about 2 weeks researching it and decided, oh, this is going to be money. And when we decided it was going to be money, then we had to figure out what it was going to be, how you could get involved. So I look at it sort of like the internet in 1998, where everybody was convinced it was going to be a thing, but nobody knew that today we would be doing social media, buying our airline tickets, etc. I think cryptocurrency has the same kind of promise, but I think we don't know what it's going to look like yet.
Yeah, no, I don't think we know what it's going to look like yet, but I do agree this is a very interesting time that I think is going to change everything going forward. But take us back to the beginning. What made you decide to get involved in the financial industry?
Back to the beginning of the financial industry, my undergrad degree is in applied mathematics. And trading to me is fascinating just simply from an applied mathematics standpoint. So I've been outside of what I do from an entrepreneur standpoint, I've been a trader, an active trader in stocks and options for about 15 years.
Yeah, no, very interesting. So I mentioned at the beginning, Because is the name of the company. And like I said, it's not spelled the traditional way. Why is that the name of your company?
So that's a pretty, I think, interesting story. Hopefully the listeners will find it interesting. And that is, when we were looking to name the company, we looked at three criteria. What is a very frequently used word? And if you'll notice, a lot of the words, companies that come out of Silicon Valley in particular, are two syllables long, like Twitter or Facebook or Google or Apple. The list is really long of these two-syllable words. So we were looking for one of the most commonly used words in the English language that hadn't already been used and that was two syllables long. And so we made a list, and because happened to begin with a B and a C, if you drop the original E, and we were originally looking only exclusively at Bitcoin. And so it was just a really nice fit for all those reasons. It's two syllables long. It's kind of pithy. It's a very frequently used word, and it begins with Bitcoin.
Oh, that's very cool. So when I was at your booth at FIA Chicago, you mentioned to me that Because offers a full stack cryptocurrency ecosystem. Not exactly sure what that meant, so if you could please explain to our listeners what that means and also the benefits to traders.
So full stack is often used as lingo in the coding industry, people that write code and they talk about a full stack developer. We look at the full stack in this case of being mining combined with a spot exchange combined with derivatives trading. And the reason that's the full stack is because it takes you all the way from the creation of the coin to the disposition of the coin and allows people that mine and participate in the economy to hedge along the way, to exchange back and forth in and out of crypto to fiat, and to participate in the production of new coin.
So I get this question all the time. This is Futures Radio Show, and so many people that are listening to the show that are futures traders always ask me, Anthony, why should futures traders care about these cryptocurrencies? Should we be looking at them? Should we be trading them? And obviously, since the launch of Bitcoin futures, a lot more futures traders have gotten involved. But you've been trading for many years, and I'm wondering, why do you think that futures traders should care about cryptocurrencies?
Well, I think there's two really good reasons, and they're related. The first is that I think traders are always looking for asset classes that are new and emerging, where they can get new volume. But in conjunction with that, I think you want to look for situations where not only is there a growing volume, but also volatility, because I think particularly derivatives traders are going to make where they can get an edge is in a market where there is volatility. If you trade something that's flat, you're not going to get as much premium on either futures or options. But if you're trading where there's a lot of volatility, if you think you've got an edge, then you can get a better price premium for your investment.
That's a pretty good explanation as to why I think a lot of futures traders should be looking into cryptos. And like I said, since we've had the launch of Bitcoin futures, I think a lot of us are slowly creeping in and getting more interested. And especially since now TT has offered Bitcoin futures next to the spot. So I think that once again, you're seeing it slowly but surely getting implemented into the industry. So I want you to explain mining a little bit, because this is something I've read about. I've had several people on the show. I am still a little uncertain how it all works. So talk to us about cryptocurrency mining and maybe why any traders should potentially get involved in mining.
So I think a way to think about this, and I'm going to try and de-jargonize this, because I think the typical explanation is, well, there's this cryptographic problem and we're solving the puzzle, and whoever solves the puzzle first, they get the reward. And it's all true, but it doesn't explain what that means. So I want you to think about anytime you go into like a Best Buy or a Target and you're going to buy, say, a television set, and you pick up that television set and you show them a piece of plastic and you walk out the door. And if you explain it to folks that way, that's a really weird thing to have happen. What? You'll give me a $3,000 television set and all I have to do is show you a piece of plastic. But what's going on in reality is Best Buy and Target understand that if Visa or MasterCard say that they're going to get paid, they're going to get paid. Now, what's happening behind the scenes is that Visa or MasterCard are moving $3,000 from my account to Best Buy or Target's account, right? They're essentially managing a ledger behind the scenes where the money's kept track of. That's essentially what goes on with any cryptocurrency. We'll just use Bitcoin as a sort of the Kleenex of facial tissue of cryptocurrency. And we'll say that if I'm going to conduct a transaction in Bitcoin, then somebody has to maintain that ledger. Somebody has to record that transaction. There is no central party like there is with Visa or MasterCard. Instead, it's a community of miners. And what the miners do is they maintain a network of computers, and that network of computers maintains the ledger. It moves money from party A to party B when a product, good, or service is bought or sold. Does that help?
Yeah, no, it definitely does. But I want to make a comment on something that I think is very interesting about people that own cryptocurrencies. I feel a very strong hesitation for them to actually use them to buy things. I feel like a lot of people own these cryptocurrencies, but they're not using them for transactions yet. And I think that's what its original intention was. So I want to know what you think about that.
So I think that what you saw with November, and this becomes a little bit more jargon-ish, is that the community tried to launch SegWit 2x, and that launch failed for a variety of reasons. But in failing, what happened was the community chose not to go down the road of making Bitcoin more of a transaction coin. That is, making our ability to handle more transactions faster per unit time. And so what that did was it opened the door, in my estimation, for coins like Dash or Litecoin or Bitcoin Cash to be the transaction coin. And so what you've seen, I think, since November is a surge in valuation in Dash and Litecoin and Bitcoin Cash comparative to, on a percentage basis, comparative to Bitcoin. And I think that the jury's out regarding which cryptocurrency will ultimately be the transaction coin. Again, I use the metaphor that it's 1998 and cryptocurrency is the internet. And if that's true, then you don't know right now whether Bitcoin is Google or Yahoo or Alta Vista.
No, you're right. I mean, that's absolutely true. And, you know, something else I want to talk a little bit more about when we talk about the mining. I've had a couple people on the show where we've actually talked about how mining is now basically like what the farmer is. And since the launch of Bitcoin futures, you can mine these futures or mine the Bitcoin and then use futures to hedge them. Are you seeing a lot of people do that?
Well, I don't know about a lot. I think if you were to look at the daily volume of the futures contract on the CME or CBOT, you'd see that the volume would be what I would consider to be thin comparative to other products. I think there's a variety of reasons for that. The biggest reason, I think, is that we believe it, because what the market needs is a physically settled product, not a cash settled product. Because if I'm a miner and I buy a cash settled product, at the end of my futures contract, I still got a problem in that I still own the coin. If my goal is to guarantee the price at which I'm going to get out of that coin so that I can invest in new mining equipment, therefore I have to get it back into fiat, I actually need a physically settled product so that 6 months from now, I get a guaranteed return on my investment. I can go back to my investors and say, see, I got a 30% return. I need to raise some more capital so we can increase the size of our mining farm.
Yeah, well said. Now, when I went to your website, the first thing that I recommend everyone go and check out your website, and you see a video, and then you say that there's four main lines of your business: mining, spot, derivatives, and clearing. Explain the connection between all of these.
So you mentioned earlier that mining's a lot like corn farming, and I would agree with you. The people that have that intend to participate in mining have the exact same problem that a corn farmer has. That is, I'm going to produce a product 6 months from now, 8 months from now, 12 months from now, and I need to make sure that I can sell it for $9 a bushel or for $10,000 a Bitcoin. But in the context of that, I still have to invest upfront in equipment. I still have to invest upfront in fuel or energy, and I still have to invest upfront in labor for something I'm going to produce down the road. And so it's a natural product and a great fit for a futures or an options contract where I need to make sure that I can get a guaranteed price for that 9 months from now.
So talk to us about everything that you guys are offering at Because.
So that mining product, we think, is a natural feed-in for spot. That is, we've got contracts right now for tens of thousands of miners at our data center. And the people that produce that crypto then have two problems. They've invested heavily in the mining equipment, and they want to be able to guarantee that they can produce and get a certain price for the Bitcoin that they'll produce, or the Bitcoin Cash that they'll produce 6 months from now, 12 months from now. So they need a derivatives product. And once they've produced it, they need to be able to sell it. If it's not a physically settled option, then they need to be able to sell it in a spot market to get back into fiat so they can recharge their balance sheet or whatever they're going to do, or the cash position that they've got on their balance sheet. So we think that spot market is fed by mining, and we think that the derivatives market is fed by mining, and that clearing is a natural adjunct to those, particularly the derivatives market.
So hence the full stack cryptocurrency ecosystem.
Hence the full stack cryptocurrency ecosystem.
Now I get it. Final question before we get into rapid fire. Do you think that cryptocurrencies will ever replace traditional state-backed currencies?
Well, that's that could be a radio show all on its own. But let's say that I think that if you believe, as I do, that it's sort of like metaphorically 1998 and cryptocurrency is the internet, then I think banks and the centrally issued currency look a lot like the newspapers. The newspapers haven't gone away, but there are other alternatives to get our news sources today. I don't think federally backed or centrally issued currencies will go away, but I think that people will have options. And I think that's really good because I get that question more, or questions like it, more here in the United States than overseas. I'll give you some examples. People in Greece or Cyprus or Venezuela, where in Venezuela or Nigeria, where today they've inflated their currency to the degree that their citizens are starving to death. People there don't think that cryptocurrency is unduly risky. They think that their federally issued currency is unduly risky. So that's more of a question that we get here in the United States, where the dollar is very, very stable. Oh, some would say unfairly stable, right? And so even in Japan and South Korea, China, they've been more accommodative, more interested, more early adopters of cryptocurrency than we have been here in the United States. And in this particular case, and it's an unusual situation for the U.S. to be a laggard in technology adoption, we seem to be behind some other countries where their central currency was more of a problem.
Yeah, great points. Absolutely great points. Great insight today, Tom. But we're not done yet. I have some rapid-fire questions if you're ready for those.
I think I'm in trouble now.
All right, everyone. Our rapid-fire segment is sponsored by Trading Technologies. Access the global markets from virtually anywhere with TT. They are the world's fastest commercially available futures trading platform. And now you can trade cryptocurrency spot and derivative markets side by side for the first time. For more information, visit tradingtechnologies.com. First question, Tom, what trader has influenced your life the most and why?
So this is going to sound strange, but I think Jim Cramer on Mad Money, simply because he's taken an industry full of jargon and he goes to great pains to make it more understandable. So while I don't almost never agree with some of his investing theses, I really like his approach and his approachable manner of describing a complex topic.
What was one of the hardest things that you've had to overcome in trading?
I think that traders by nature are very bold in our personality types. And I think it's very hard for us to admit we don't know things. And so I think understanding that I almost know nothing is a good start to trading. Like I don't understand anything. And that sounds really like counterintuitive. Like how can you trade then if you don't know anything? But I think hubris, that is sort of this overwhelming pride, is sort of what led us to blow up the economy in 2008.
What's the number one resource you spend your time on?
So I read Seeking Alpha quite a bit, and I read a lot of the folks that post articles to Seeking Alpha, not because, again, necessarily that I agree with them or buy into their theses, but it causes me to stimulate my own thinking or to inform me of things I didn't know before so that I can add that to sort of my thinking.
What's your favorite book about trading or the markets?
So this goes back a long time. It's called The Way of the Turtle. And I don't even know if it's in print anymore, but I go back and reread that book probably once every year, once every other year. And currently I'm reading Ray Dalio's book, Principles.
What's your favorite movie or TV show about trading or the markets?
Again, I'm going to age myself here. People are going to think I'm from the Stone Ages, but I really like Quicksilver and I like Boiler Room.
What's the best piece of advice that you've received about trading or the markets?
So I'll take you back to that reference about Jim Cramer. His tagline is essentially that bears make money and bulls make money, but that pigs get slaughtered.
Now, if you could give a piece of advice to the new people interested in getting involved in trading, what would it be?
Oh, I would say get involved. I think we've been lied to over a long period of time. People have been told that buy and hold is a good strategy. And I think up until about 1998, it was a good strategy. If you look at like a chart of the Dow Jones Industrial Average over the last, say, 120 years. But I think for the last 20 years, buy and hold has been a bad strategy. And that you can make a lot more money, say, doing a covered call than you can just holding a stock. And just as an example.
Last question for today, Tom. If you weren't involved with the markets, you'd be doing what?
I'd be running a startup called Because.
Well said, my friend. Where can people find you on social media and give us a website to check out?
Take a look for us on Twitter at Because. That's BCAUSELLC. So that's at BCAUSELLC. Or they can look at us on our website at Because.com.
Everyone, I highly recommend you go and check out Because on Twitter and their website. Like I said, when I first saw this company at FIA Chicago, I was very interested, and the more and more I speak with Tom, the more interested I get. Tom, thank you so much for coming on Futures Radio Show today.
Thanks for having us on, Anthony.
Thank you for listening to Futures Radio Show. If you have any questions or comments for myself or my guests, please visit futuresradioshow.com and sign up to be a premium member for free. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes.